Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of cleaning power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in the store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, brother. Let's get our finders and power up our answer boxes, because we got to go find a co-mayor. Let's get ready to time warp. That's right. We saw Abraxas, the guardian of the galaxy. So you know what that means.
John Shear, and we have a movie for you tonight, Abraxas and the Guardian of the Universe. How can I describe this movie? It's hard. It's hard to describe it. It's like someone saw The Terminator and said, let's make it a lot dumber. You have two finders that are trying to stop a co-mater, which I don't even understand what the co-mater is. But they used to be friends, and we find out later they can't kill each other. I didn't know that until the very end of the movie. But basically, it's more slow-mo fight scenes than ever before. It is a real, if we're going to get into the plot, there isn't much. Snowy small town, Jesse Ventura and a rat tail. That's what this movie is. And to break this movie down tonight, I have to do it with my two co-hosts. Please welcome to the stage, Richard Jason Mantzoukas. Jason, Abraxas, Guardian of the Universe.
Abraxas! Abraxas Secundus!
Were you aware of this movie before today?
I've never heard of this.
Nope.
And I wish I had never been told about this. And frankly, I blame you fucking assholes. Somehow Canada fucks me every time. Wandered around this godforsaken city for a cup of coffee today. Couldn't find coffee. Couldn't find Little Italy. I don't know what the fuck you guys are doing.
Well, Jason, if you know, we picked this movie because of the romance and the hairstyles. And that's why...
Holy shit. His Padawan rat tail.
Just cut it off.
It's like ridiculous.
Just cut it off.
The whole thing is straight trash.
When you really got to see it from a side angle, it was upsetting.
During the last fight scene, it's flopping around in back of him. I was like, what is this?
In Canada, we put this person as an elected official. He became our governor.
And that's not even the most embarrassing person we've elected to a major office. We now have multiple people who've held major offices, who've competed in wrestling competitions, who've been at WrestleManias. What are we doing? Can I live here? I can't. I don't wanna. I would never live here. I would never live here. USA, USA, huh? Anybody? Anybody?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Bring it on, assholes.
We do not need the kind, we don't need to start this kind of battle right out of the gate. Please welcome a person who loves Canada and the United States equally, Miss June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm okay. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well, thank you. June, Abraxas, I know you're a big fan of Jesse Ventura's acting, so you were probably familiar with this film.
Well, I know you said, bring it up tonight, and I didn't want to, but I guess I'll say it now. For the first half hour of the movie, I thought Jean-Claude Van Damme was in this film.
June thought that
as
Sven,
which part?
As the other one.
Secundus.
Not
Secundus.
Secundus.
Now, she's like, do you not understand the basic build of Secundus is a giant lumbering oaf?
I know, and I
Jean-Claude
thought...
Jean-Claude Van Damme is the quintessence of masculine ripness. With them buns? I didn't see any buns.
I didn't see a single bun, but
these two men were like overstuffed sausages in like Dickies. Like that, like they just felt like
I would click on that on Pornhub.
They
overstuffed sausages in Dickies.
They were like there's a moment in the movie where their time warp. By the way, they invent so many words in this movie. They always are explaining them to you. But when they time warp through, like, he lost all of his weaponry. But
why?
They keep all their clothes. Like,
why did they lose their weaponry? They made a big point of being like, after he escaped, he went to an armory and stole all these weapons. And then he time jumps in and is like, I lost all my weapons. But by the way, I've never heard a movie where both characters get VO. Whose movie is this? Who am I following? You don't get to have Jesse Ventura being like, I knew that I could find him where he was last. And then Secundus is like, I knew that he would find me, and I didn't know if I could best him in a fight, but I knew. And I knew that it was him that was the one.
Well, the problem, and at one point, because Paul and I watched the majority of the movie together, the problem is there were so many leaps that made zero sense. And at one point, we had to pause the movie because something was happening. And you said you were started freaking out when we unpaused, saying, wait, we missed so much. Like, go back. We missed.
Didn't miss anything.
Hadn't missed. It was just a...
Didn't miss a goddamn thing. I mean,
I rewound multiple times
trying to
figure out, like, I must have missed something. Cut to, missed nothing.
Nothing.
Well, first of all,
just hastily edited nonsense.
I mean, the beginning of the movie opens with, like, have you ever been vaulted? Very painful. It's like,
he's also 10,000 years old.
My birthday's coming up. I'm going to be 10,082.
And he also says on Tuesday. What? How does Abraxas know what Tuesday is?
Well, this movie does that, like, that dumb thing where, like, they're on a planet. Well, are they as intelligent as us? Not really. Well, what do they have? Oh, their planet's called Earth.
And then they're like, nice name. And then these fucking aliens shade us so hard. These fucks, they don't know what's up.
Those aliens, by the way, get a light in your room. Like, it's so dark in there. Those guys are in complete darkness. Or at least get a glowing poster or something. I mean, like, it was...
Maybe their night vision has evolved to a point...
They're like bats.
That we could never even imagine. Yeah.
They're bats. They just fly. They just use sonar.
I said to Jason backstage, because Jason was telling me the name of the movie at the airport this morning, and I was typing it in as he was just saying vowels and consonants, and I was like, I was typing in letters like, when will I understand where we're headed?
When
with
will
this?
It become a word when, I recognize?
When will it become a word that I can wrap my mind around? And it never did. It just never did.
Well, the movie...
But by the end of the movie, you totally understand why it's called Abraxas.
Well, because they... I mean, this movie says Abraxas more than any movie ever. So by the end of it, by the hour and 26 minutes when it's over, you're like, well, I know Abraxas now. Because everyone has to call him Abraxas. But every fight scene in this movie, you open up in this, like, snowy... slow-mo fight. Every fight is a slow-mo fight.
Shot really terribly.
Like, really, really bad. But here are two guys. Like, so Sven Ole Thorsen, he's Secundus, is like the world's strong man. Like, so he's that kind of guy. And Jesse Ventura is a wrestler.
Can I ask a question? That's his accent, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was like, are they trying to put on an Arnold accent?
Well, I clearly was it felt to me like, oh, we couldn't get Arnold, we're going to get this
that's
guy.
That's what I literally assumed.
And then I
was
found out.
Was this before or after The Terminator, which is very similar in story?
Well, I have two pieces to tell you. I have answers to both of these. When do you think this movie was made?
Last year?
I don't know. I think I know. 1991?
Oh, wow. So, yeah, it's not,
that's later than I thought.
Yes, and so...
I would have guessed, like, 86. Like, early to mid-80s.
That's what I thought, too.
It looks like dog shit.
And apparently...
The whole first battle scene in the woods is shot day for night.
Yeah.
So it's totally, like, poorly, it's inverse lit. It's absolutely crazy.
See, I'm curious about that because I had to watch, I couldn't sign on to my Amazon Prime account in Canada. So...
You're proud of yourselves? Are you proud of yourselves? You fucking assholes.
So I did watch this on YouTube, and I kept on thinking the quality must just be...
Nope.
If you can imagine...
This was shot on toilet paper.
Yeah. They were like, hurry up, we only have one more roll left. And it's single ply. So your finger is going right through.
Mm. But this opening is pretty intense because...
Is it?
Secundus impregnates a woman with his hand.
By the way, baller move. And word. The gestation period is half an hour.
Half an hour, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer they're in the fight. I mean, like,
I feel like it was 30 seconds.
She is instantly pregnant and gives birth like moments later, which is like
it's
pretty.
It looked great to me.
Pretty nuts, yeah.
But by the way, I have to give it up to her because I thought that she accepted the job of being a mother very quickly. Like, she went from being a girl that was like kind of messing around with a guy in a car to, all right, now I guess I'm a mom. Let's do this.
I'm a mom.
There was a moment
but
where she goes.
That is how it goes, Paul.
I guess. But.
Like, you just accept your circumstances.
She did have a moment of
you hesitation. You guys have kids.
We do. But I just thought when Secundus puts his hand on your belly and 30 seconds later you pop out a baby, there might be a slightly longer gestation
period. Well, she did try to throw it into a river at first.
She contemplated it.
She thought about it.
Oh, I mean,
she thought about it.
You've got, if you're her, if you're not Terry Garr, you've got to be trying to figure out what the fuck is happening.
Yeah.
Is this baby gonna be a Secundus murder baby? The fact that she instantly trusts and raises Thomas.
By the way, and she not only raises Thomas, but she kind of starts her own like baby boom Diane Keaton store. Like she's running a granary.
She's doing like wheatgrass shots in like.
She was ahead of her time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I like this mom.
Now I will say I did cry during Thomas's early. Early years.
What do you mean his early years? He's only 5 years old in the movie.
Well, no, but...
He's zero and then he's five.
But when, you know, I don't know. She knows she has something. She knows she's been inseminated against her will.
Sure.
And when I saw her holding that baby, I cried. I did.
Is there any point in her mind where she's like, this is immaculate conception? Like, this is like a holy child?
I mean, obviously there are more than one problem with the movie, but what I didn't like was the portrayal of a child with some sort of a disability as potentially evil or having that, you know, disability seen as the evil part of him and being worried about it.
I think what's evil about him, not evil, it's not evil, but is the fact that he knows the anti-life equation.
Well,
what am I talking about? What makes him evil? Here's what it is. He's not evil the way that Damien is evil in The Omen, right? Because Damien is literally the Antichrist. Tommy happens to have in his brain somewhere that he's not even aware of, really, a bit of knowledge that once Secundus gets it, Secundus can be the evil doer.
But I don't Secundus think we're supposed is, to... But Secundus is evaporating people no problem without that.
Well, like he's blowing up heads like crazy.
Yeah, I guess that's the question.
He's out here Gallagher style with a giant hammer clobbering people's heads.
So what does he just want to do? Does he just want to make people pee their pants? Because that seems to me the one thing that Tommy is able to do. Pee your pants or throw them into it. Did he flush that kid down the toilet? I hope so.
Oh, that kid's dead. What is the anti-life equation?
I mean, what's a comator? I don't know.
Well, I think a comator in their language and world is just a child.
I don't think that's
because
true.
Like he.
I do. I think if you're an alien like they are, and you have a child, you just don't call them a child. You call them a comator.
Or was it because he mated with someone outside of species? A comator.
Oh, that's interesting.
So mate, the root word mate in comator, co is like we mated together.
Yeah.
And that is the child is the result of the co-mating.
Like, we're all co-maters.
Because he By the way, I do
really?
Think...
Here,
here's a thing that I also think
pee
is pretty
pants.
Interesting. Pee your
pee
pants.
Pee your pants.
I Ooh. Also think that there is a... I mean, I don't know much about female biology, but I know a little bit. But he also is able to make her pregnant immediately, not based on any part of her cycle or where she was. I mean, you know, like she made...
Interesting.
Do you think, Paul,
That's
do you think that should have been addressed in the movie?
Yes. Like, he should have put his hand on her stomach and she's like, nope, not my time right now.
Yeah.
Where
we
are you?
We should have taken her temperature how, real quick.
How soon until your Aunt Flo comes to visit?
It would have been a fun little fun sequence, him running around putting his hand on women's bellies until he found the right, oh, you're ready. Let's pop one in.
Guys, listen, when you go home tonight and you are, you know, getting busy, just put your hand on your mate's tummy and be like, I just put a baby in you.
By the way, can I just
but
play...
But ask if it's okay first.
Wait.
Don't be a secundus.
Did we... Did we get to the bottom of the equation and what it
no.
does?
Does anybody know what the anti-life equation is?
Oh, wait, all right, somebody in the front
this
row
guy,
does.
All right. Of course this guy yes. knows. He's right, wearing sir. A bow tie. He's wearing a bow tie. A sweater vest? Turn around.
I am prone to believe this man. So, sir, your name?
Ben.
All right, Ben, what is the anti-life equation?
The anti-life equation is a concept that Darkseid from DC comic books, when he gains the anti-life equation, he gains like dominion over reality. Okay. Essentially, but it's kind of wholesale stolen from the Jack Kirby DC comics.
Oh, wow. Oh, these guys. So it is. Its origin is in DC comics lore.
Yeah, clearly. Like they even the answer box.
Sorry. I'm on
okay,
your side,
Ben.
I'm on
oh,
your side. I'm
sorry,
on Ben's side.
Ben.
I'm on Ben's side.
These fucking know-it-all Canadians. I swear to God. Paul, this is why I said
I know.
No more shows in Canada.
Yeah, no, that's a good urge. Man.
So he would be able to control the universe, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was going to mention that the answer box is a ripoff of Mother Boxes, but we don't need to get into
yes.
that.
Yes.
The answer, okay. That, well, the,
I
didn't by
get,
the way,
I
the,
didn't get a single thing from that. I'm so sorry. I didn't.
The answer boxes are also eye watches. I mean, by the way, I wanted to play this. This scene when she comes and tells, I guess it's her parents that she's pregnant. Now,
this is upsetting.
What I love about this scene is
not that she's pregnant.
Oh, that she has a baby.
She already has the baby.
Right.
She and, gives birth in the woods.
Right. And I guess what I thought was so interesting about this was that she clearly these people have seen her in the last 9 months.
She goes from being what I believe is a teenager hooking up in a car.
Yes.
Is this a teen pregnancy allegory? To I be mean, like, be careful if you make out in a car in the woods, you'll have a baby by morning.
Secundus will get it in you. Here we go. So,
because her parents are like,
this is
where
a great,
did you get that?
I mean, the fact that they were, I mean, they know her.
So we want to help you, but this story is so hard to believe.
I'm not asking you to believe me. I'd settle for some help.
Well, why won't you tell us who the father is?
I know this sounds terrible, but I honestly don't know who the father is.
Well, the only thing worse than protecting a delinquent father is not knowing who the father is.
I have nothing to be ashamed of. If you want me to leave this house...
Give me that baby.
I will.
I want you to leave this house.
He wants her to leave the house. It's a damning thing. By the way, this is what's hard about this movie, is she looks 30 to me there. And I'm not saying that, like, I don't think of her
wow.
as an 18.
But I also think that in the late 80s, early 90s, like, all teenage girls looked 30 to 35. Like, that was also the look.
Got it. And then the movie cuts ahead 5 years.
But hard
cut. Like
hard
to
cut
like
5 years later, Jim Belushi.
Whoa.
That scene. I loved that scene.
You loved that scene?
He said, this is a normal school.
What? For normal children. By the way, it seemed like there is no reason for that scene in the film whatsoever.
No, I thought the it was kid hilarious, never spoke. Though. I mean, I thought it was comic relief.
I thought
was
he was
not?
Being introduced as a potential love interest for her in that moment. Because I'm like, it's Jim Belushi. He's going to be part of this movie.
Right.
JK, he is not.
He is not.
Nope.
Well, that brings up an interesting point, because I didn't think he was a love interest, but there's also the cop, the local cop, yes. the newer one. And then there's the
Abraxas.
Well, then there's Abraxas, of course. But then there's Max or Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Whose home she goes to, who's wearing a giant poncho in the first.
Yes.
He's got
first
big
time
beads.
We meet him.
Yeah.
He has big beads,
what
right?
What is that guy's deal?
I don't know, because he lives, it seems, in another town further away.
And they're safe there because nobody would think they would go there. But then the police are like, I saw them together, so let's go there.
I don't know who that guy was.
I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's 2 in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
All right, so would it surprise either one of you that Marjorie Branfield, that's the actress that played Sonia Murray, she was married to Jim
Who's
Belushi.
Who's Sonia Murray?
The
that's
mom.
Her? I never caught her name.
So that's Sonia Murray, the mom. Sonia Murray, that she was married to Belushi.
And at the time.
At the time.
Not because of this, but
no,
okay.
But at the time. And I have a feeling that they were like, if he's here
know if
visiting.
Met on this, I meant.
No, yeah, no, no. Yeah. I think they were like, if he's, can maybe we just put him in a scene? We'll just shoot a scene with him real quick.
You know what, it's sort of like a long shot. I was in Montreal and
yes.
You were there.
I was.
And then they said, you know what?
Come and do a piece of the movie.
Come and do a part in the movie.
Yeah. So that was the same idea.
So wait, if I had been in Montreal, so are a lot of acting jobs proximity based?
Listen, from what I understand, you just show up at a set.
If I'd been in Montreal, would I have been in Long Shot?
It's very possible.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, the local hire, it really helps.
Yeah, because they don't have to pay to fly you. They don't have to pay to put you up. You're just simply there.
Yeah, you're just there. Just pop on in. Just like
would have been
just
nice.
Like Belushi. But it feels like Belushi's in a different movie because he's making jokes. He's doing a lot of stuff. I feel like they were like, we got Belushi. Let's let him loose.
You got to cut him loose.
Let that loose.
You got to cut Belushi loose. Unloose Belushi.
Because it is bizarre that he's in this movie.
Agree. Like,
he just says that he screams at kids to provoke a reaction from them.
What a strange... That was a crazy beat.
And then she's like, why don't you just talk to the kids instead? He's like, whoa. Wow.
I thought it was hilarious.
But it's hilarious. But this movie is... And this movie goes for some hard jokes, but it seems so out of place. Like, when he says that his... when his answer box has VD.
Yes.
My box has VD. All right.
It's something a lot of people in Canada say.
There's such an obsession with, what's her name again? Sonia.
Sonia Murray.
Sonia being a single parent. And so many people are disturbed by it, disturbed by the dad not being there, disturbed that she's raising this son who doesn't speak without a father. And yet no one seems to offer to help her at all. People just register their shock.
Except her friend who also has a son, also a single mom in this tiny town?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, are they like...
They had a lovely rapport.
They, yeah.
Yeah. But even Abraxas, when he stands there... when he stands there in the woods in the opening, I know he chooses to not kill her, and that's great, but...
Why?
He leaves a woman...
Why does he choose not to kill her?
Because he can't. And
why?
I think because he's different. He has that whole speech to Tommy in the car about how he understands being different and he understands being not like the rest.
It's because my birthday is on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 11,000 years old.
I do think he is an alien, of course, but he's a different kind of alien.
With a little bit
of heart. Now, I did take issue, though, with the fact that he left a woman in the snow to give birth, like hanging onto a tree.
Hey, he left her alive. Here's the thing about this movie. This is a movie that has, shockingly, no exposition scenes. No scenes of data dumps. No scenes where somebody tells you all of the information you need to know. Really, very rarely do you get, like, info dumps.
You get info dumps, but in the wrong way. Like, you get info dumps about, like, these dumb things, like, where they go like this. It's like, you get stuff like this.
Travel warps are like wormholes connecting different parts of the universe, kind of like a galactic subway system. They're a natural phenomenon that we've learned to use, sometimes successfully, sometimes not.
Like, they spend 30 seconds talking about time warps. Like, tell me a little bit about co-mators, buddy.
Tell me why. Tell me what their job, like, they're police of what? They're police of...
Finders.
They're finders of
what? What does that mean?
I understand the Terminator and why.
They're galactic police that are solving problems, but these finders...
But one has gone rogue.
One has gone rogue. They used to be partners.
And that's Secundus?
Secundus and Andy Abraxas. Secundus.
Andy Secunda, friend of ours.
I wasn't going to say that the entire show.
Every time I heard it, I was like, no, Andy. You don't even know him, you asshole.
It's our own friend.
He's a
friend
of ours.
Our own friend. Writer for the Goldbergs. Anyway. But...
Tweet at him. You'll be so confused.
But no, it was like they do weird exposition drops where they explain vaulting, time warps, answer boxes.
Sort of. But all of
I didn't know what vaulting really was. What does
sort
it mean?
Of. It's all in service of I don't know what. Because I didn't understand the plot, really. I didn't understand. Why does Secundus need... He gets her pregnant so that he can get the anti-life equation, which, again, I didn't know what that meant.
Right.
Really, until this guy. And even still, I'm not quite sure what his plan is, such that they needed to keep sending Abraxas to intercede, you know? That's it.
Well, I mean, basically, the co-mater is fine if Secundus doesn't go after him. And if Secundus spent his time in jail like a regular person, he
regular alien,
and it didn't escape, it would have been no problem, right? That would have been, and so he had to come back in to finish what he started, Abraxas, 5 years later.
Right.
That's all I got.
Wait.
I mean,
I wasn't quite clear on what happened between them originally.
Well, that they had fallen out.
Same. I didn't know.
But what caused it?
The two men in the dark room were talking about that a lot.
They were partners for thousands of years, I assume.
Every 10,000 years you get vaulted, or I don't know. Every thousand years you get vaulted.
But what is happening when you get vaulted?
I thought it was like a mind erase, but he seems to remember everything.
It seemed to me like when they put the Winter Soldier in, when they have to like reboot the Winter Soldier's brain so that he's loyal again.
Yeah.
Because he's getting too much like free will, and they have to repeat the series of prompts in order to like, Ben, am I right? I know it's Marvel, not DC. But I was like, oh, are they trying to like bring him, is part of their thing like, this kind of, they keep them in this state of like post-hypnotic kind of suggestion almost, where they keep them in like a place where they don't have free will.
Oh, and maybe Secundus
has broken through that.
And maybe after.
But I think, Abraxas did too.
Well, Abraxas, I just think once he got that sweet kiss, he kind of was like, oh, wait a second.
Oh, man. And the answer box is just straight savage. Like from his wrist, he gets a kiss, and the answer box is like, oh shit, bro, you just got a boner. I'm reading physical symptoms that say blood is rushing to your dong, bro. Oh, what do you like her? Like, the thing on his wrist is straight shading him the whole time. He's like, can it? Should it?
I have to say that I was a little bit worried that that Sonya Murray would kiss him like that. Because
Worried?
I just didn't find that much of an emotional connection there. Like, here's this woman, Sonya Murray, who's running a granary, making her wheatgrass shots, caring for her 5-year-old boy, and then this man who talks like this never says anything. Like, she's like, that's the guy that she's going to connect to?
Wow, he's protecting her child.
And is the only person that she knows, except for the child's father, who is intent on murdering them both, who is from the same background as her child, I guess. There is some, it might be some, I don't know.
We don't know where Secundus is.
I mean, by the way, she knows how this child came to be. Like, she knows something very strange happened.
Which is what
she doesn't tell anybody.
Which is what she says to him when he shows up again, Jesse Ventura.
Right, and she also knows that he didn't kill her when he could have, which I know is a low bar to set for a man.
He didn't kill me. Second date?
But he didn't.
How was your date? You know what? He didn't try and kill me. He did put his hand on my tummy. I did have a baby 5 minutes later. But he let me live. I really like him.
Maybe she was just horny for him in that bed. Big man in a little bed.
Again, I don't think Sonya Murray has ever had sex. I think she's a virgin. And
whoa.
I did.
Yeah, because she didn't really want to mess around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
which
don't think
doesn't
she's
mean
sex
she's
the,
a virgin necessarily,
you don't think
Paul,
she's had sex in the 5 intervening years?
No.
I don't think so, because she is full, again, the people in her town, with the exception of that new police officer who does not believe in, like, peaceful policing.
First of all.
And has an Uzi.
Where did he get that Uzi from?
Where?
But I don't know who is she having sex with in that town?
Whoever she wants. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, I would like to feel that Sonya Murray, even as a single mother raising a half-human, half-alien child, that
would like to get out
that
of
was like a chest burster from her body, I think she's like probably going on some dates. I'd like to believe that she's like getting it done.
I think she's going on dates, as we saw in the movie, with her child.
Romantically?
No. No,
you
but they went out to the movies together.
I'll watch it again through that lens.
I think she's making ends meet. I think she's trying to survive out there as a one income household. I don't think she's on dates. I hope she is.
She's on Hinge. Would it surprise you to find out she's on Hinge?
What is Hinge?
It's a dating app. It's one of the dating.
Never heard of it.
I haven't even heard about Hinge. Now I feel really out of it.
We don't need to go on dating apps right there.
Yeah. Shared calendars, motherfucker. That's what we got.
Why would you ask for that high five?
To go back to that kiss, though, I do think that was the kiss, because she didn't kiss him on the lips at first. It was just like a little side cheek kiss. Yeah, it was a very virginal kiss. I'm happy they found each other.
But here's the thing. That sheriff, that deputy, he was positioned in the beginning as being a very sweet, kind of Don Knotts-ian kind of like local sheriff. And then he progressively gets more and more insane.
Yeah.
I was kind of on his side when he saw that one dilapidated tractor outside that looked like it was burnt out. I thought that was from Secundus. He's like, hey, whose truck is this? This is bad. And then the guy's like, hey, whoa, don't. That's Jeb's truck. Don't get in Jeb's. Like, well, no, but that's not a good thing. He shouldn't have that in town. I was on the side of the cop.
Well, I think it ultimately comes down to your ideology on, like, policing and what... Okay. Do we believe that police should be looking for trouble or assuming positive intent? And do we believe in community policing or are we... I mean, listen, I'm on the side of the other police officer, ultimately, who...
Letter of the law versus...
Peaceful policing.
Oh, okay. Oh, I forgot what he said.
Yeah.
Spirit of the law versus buddy.
Yeah, and I do think, yes, you want your police officers to be ready should something happen.
Right.
And this, they did not seem to be ready for this.
Well,
looking for trouble.
He basically says to the new guy, the sheriff says to the young new guy, hey, you're not in the big city anymore. This is a little town. Nothing happens here. And on their watch... I'm going to say a dozen townspeople are killed.
Sure.
In a town whose population is max 300. Like a tenth of the population of this town is eradicated on their watch. They're bad police.
Oh, I mean...
They're bad at it.
But there's also some weird things going on with the population, because when Secundus goes to that one computer place to look up...
Town Hall?
Town Hall, yeah.
He goes to Town Hall and kills everybody inside.
Well, why is everybody at Town Hall?
It's so busy.
People are at Town Hall because something was happening with the power sources, right?
Oh, Ben? Is that why people kept coming in?
I thought people were running there because their power was off.
That one woman came in and was like, hey, if they first pan across, there's like three dead bodies. They find him like clickety-clacking. And then a woman that comes in is like, hey, my power's not on. Non-phased by the dead bodies. Hey, man, where's my power?
You should go to Town Hall for that. You should go to, like, your local power supplier.
I think it all happens at Town Hall there.
Maybe so.
When they walk out of Town Hall, like, they have the fight that spills out in out
yeah.
front. There are so many townspeople right
there. Well, that's what I wrote. There's too many people there.
It's so busy. Town Hall is so busy that day.
I also just like the use of music in this movie.
Yes.
Is so consistently bad.
So much. If you're watching with closed captions,
yeah,
the descriptions of the jazz, the descriptions of the melancholy jazz, like it's very specific.
But it is so melancholy during that first fight scene between the two of them. It's so sad.
The theme song is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the theme song at the beginning is great. It feels like a John Carpenter soundtrack
yes.
or something, like, synthy and, you know, like, of that era. The rest of the movie is, like, they're just dropping in library jazz tracks that are, like...
Over fight scenes. Yeah. There's a jazzy score over a fucking fight scene. Imagine like watching the Terminator, like.
I like that that's jazz.
Yeah.
I just saw I wrote something down that made me laugh very hard. Camping in fall is better because of phone reception. Do you have my fax number? The guy who's out camping in the middle of the woods on a phone call talking about how reception is better in the fall?
It was the early 90s. We had
I don't think that's true.
But this guy, this lawyer, was a little bit off because he even said, like, well, what's your driving record when they tried to steal his car?
I have, my insurance is going to be affected. Like, your kid is there. Give the guy your car. Don't be a hero.
And then he throws his keys into the fire and makes his son get them? I was for sure waiting for a Raiders of the Lost Ark moment where he grabbed the keys and he'd burn his hand. But no.
I thought that too, but nope.
Both of these men, and I don't mean this in any way that's derogatory, their bodies are so, like, they're thick. Like, you know, like, it doesn't feel
like... T-H-I-C-C?
Yes. It just doesn't feel like they can move at any rate. And so you're just always watching them
lumber
grapple, lumber, like slow kick. Like they can't even get a kick. The kick would have to be like, like, hold on, let me hold on to this tree.
This stuff surprised me because Jesse Ventura was capable of,
yes,
like of doing fights. Live wrestling fights,
yes,
right? Like you have to be able to do it in the ring because there's no editing, there's no anything. You're actually doing it. So I was surprised that he was so incapable of selling any of this stuff. They had to slow every fight scene down. It was all shot like crazily. It was, the fight scenes were hilarious. And they were scored to weird jazz. This movie is nuts.
Here, let's listen to this like one moment of the music video.
And I'll
ending.
Just say one thing too. When they're heading through the woods, they're
which time? This movie
the,
is.
And was, they're always
this
in the
movie
woods.
Is 2/3 set in the woods.
Yes.
This
I
movie
would forget
is
because we would be on these sequences for it felt like hours. Of just cutting back and forth between the two of them walking through the woods.
I think they just shot stuff in the woods.
And hope for the
and
best.
And put it wherever they needed
because
it.
Because truly, every time I looked up, I was like, oh, are they chasing each other or are two grown men just lost in the woods? Like, it looked
have
so...
Have they gotten some sort of, like frostbite? Have they lost their mind?
Yes.
Are they hungry?
They were so slow.
Just rolling around on each other in the woods.
I've got so many questions. The scene where the little kid is in bed with a shirtless Jesse Ventura.
I mean, that
was pretty wild.
It was such a choice. Like, it was so not necessary.
We can play a little bit of that scene.
Hello. I suppose you're not tired. Do you want to sit up here with me?
I mean... What?
It's
jazz.
About two men who are partners. Policeman? No, I'd say more like
here's
policeman.
The jazz.
That music should not be accompanying
yeah.
the scene.
This is a romantic soundtrack. I don't like it.
No, thank you.
Don't like it.
That's a person who tries to solve things peacefully. That's a very hard thing to do. But one of the men began to grow unhappy. He was seeing so much.
Paul, can you pause for a second?
So much.
Hey, Jesse, we're gonna take it again. If you could just say the words slower.
Jesse, here's the thing. The movie needs to be an hour and 30 minutes to be released. Right now, we're coming in at an hour and 25.
Can you
if
just...
If you can just... They only got an hour and 26. That's all they got. By the way, when he does get his clothes, they go, oh, get him some of the workman's clothes in the back. And it's like an overcoat, like a trench coat.
It's a trench coat. It's a trench coat over, like, sweats. And that's the best part. He gets out of the camper, right? They're like, well, you've got some clothes. He's like, can I have some earth clothes or whatever, brother? And then he's like, okay. They get out of the thing, and he's like, okay. And takes off running.
And so, he runs so...
He runs so, away from them.
So badly, like...
Holy shit. Nobody can move. Everybody can't move in the movie, really.
This movie is after Terminator. We talked about it before. This movie was originally offered to Schwarzenegger. He said no. He opted to do Terminator 2. Ugh. So it was going to be the body and Schwarzenegger back to back. But if this movie is ripping off Terminator 1, why don't they ever outfit him in anything cool? It's like the reverse version of it. It's like a Terminator, he gets into a cool, like, he puts on like a leather jacket. In this one, he'll put on an overcoat and a sweatshirt. All right. Like, yeah. You know, it's like every choice is like...
Terminator's like Los Angeles, the city, people.
This
like,
is small town Minnesota, brother.
The woods. Most of it's the woods. And for no reason at all, a strip club. We don't need to go there. We don't find anything there. We just go in, we see legs and nothing else.
But I did think that was an interesting moment. Like, why didn't he seem to have the way they cut that moment between him and the stripper, it was extremely intense, and he did spare her.
Yeah.
Like all good men do.
Because he liked... Yeah.
You think that...
He liked her fertility dances.
It would almost seem as though the mislead would be... She works at the strip club, and he would go, and you think it's her, and he's going to get her.
Yeah.
But in fact, oh, it's someone else, and he doesn't. But he goes there just to go there.
Well, he is looking for her.
He's looking for her.
He likes exotic dancers doing their fertility rites dances.
And eating everything on the breakfast menu at the diner. Again.
Here's your bill.
He spends a lot of time... just hanging out in town. Really, he goes to the strip club. Yeah. He goes to the diner.
He's just enjoying the sights and sounds.
He's like on a leaf peeper long weekend. Enjoying the sights.
I did laugh when he ate the check. I did.
Of course.
Some of the jokes work. Hey, we're going to have a free-range turkey. I know I paid for it.
Classic.
Nailed it. Didn't even really make sense, but I like that someone tried to make a joke.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you, I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that, and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix Is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix Is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix. I love Quince. Why do I love Quince? Well, maybe you should ask my 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater that I got for $50. Or maybe you want to talk to my washable silk top or some of my 14 karat jewelry. Well, you're wasting your time because they can't talk, but I can talk for them and say that Quince is the best because all their items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. How do they do it? Well, they partner with the top factories. They cut out the middleman, okay? And they pass the savings on to you. I love this wool Quince hat I have, but I also love my Quince quarter zip Mongolian cashmere sweater. It is truly one of my wife's favorite outfits. And when your wife likes one of your outfits, you know that you've done right. Anyway, indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bonkers for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/bonkers to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That's right, quince.com/bonkers.
Let's go to the crowd, see what you guys have to say about this movie. I'm going to come out here to you guys. Just say your name in your best Jesse the Body Ventura way. So, you know, if your name is Jill, you'd say Jill. All right. So, yeah. How about you? Come over here. Yeah. All right. Your name and your question.
Shane.
Great.
So my question is, they complained that Abraxas didn't kill the kid for 5 years. Why didn't they send another finder to just murder the kid?
That's a great question.
I like that.
I mean, I don't know how many finders are out there.
Well, it seems like the two guys in the dark room kind of liked Abraxas and kind of felt like, you know what? Hey, look, we don't want to...
Let's cut Abraxas some slacks.
Yeah. That's a shirt.
By the way, and it's just a pair of slacks.
I really want to get that shirt. I want
Abraxas Slaxis Corporation.
Your name, your question. Here we go.
Trevor.
Great.
So in the movie, it's always snowing. There's always people saying Merry Christmas. There's a virgin who gives birth. Is this a Christmas movie?
Ooh. A great question.
Yes.
All right, your name, your question, what do you got?
Courtney.
Great.
That's your Jesse Ventura voice?
Courtney!
Do you think the producers approached Pepsi? Or
yes.
Do you think Pepsi approached the producers?
Well, he also breaks all
that.
The Pepsi bottles. Like, I was like, oh, is this a pro-Coke movie? Oh, these three people are so excited to talk about Pepsi and Coke. Do you have insider info? Hold on. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to come down.
Paul, hold on.
Scarf.
Wait for the mic.
Hold on. Don't touch the mic.
I don't know.
Though,
you should.
Don't touch it, though. Can one of you
scarf.
Send a rep?
Paul, don't
scarf.
Let go of the mic, though. Don't just pass
go.
It down there.
Why don't you just, how about this? Stand up and yell your information.
He's going
oh,
over.
Oh, wait, not okay. You. Her. She was gesticulating.
Wait, no, don't yell it. You walk. Everyone's gotten up to clear a path for you.
Sorry, Paul, that's my fault. Paul, that's my fault. I said to yell it.
All right.
We're doing the best we can.
All right, here we go.
Can we turn this light down just a little bit?
Oh, really? I was going to say, can we turn it up? Because it's not hot enough. Holy cow, that light.
All right, your name, your question.
Izzy.
Great.
At the end, they thank Coca-Cola.
Wait, in the credits?
So that is. It's anti-Pepsi because they break all the Pepsi bottles.
Wow.
Yes. Well done.
That was worth it.
But so wait, are you saying that Coca-Cola paid them to do that?
Coke, the product placement in the movie for Coke was to trash Pepsi.
Much respect.
That is a savage
flex. Much respect.
You know what? Don't even put... Your movie's trash. Don't put our product in it. But we will pay you to break our competitor's product. That's it. That's it right there.
All right.
Coke, man, these fiends are smart.
All right. You feel let down that I walked by. All right. Let's see.
Paul, all right. Huge mistake.
I know.
Huge mistake.
But he didn't like.
Let him be disappointed.
But he didn't like go crazy like other people do when
all
I
right,
walk by them.
Let's see if it's worth it.
Adrian. My question is, how the heck does birth control work in this planet when you can just like touch a woman and get her pregnant?
Okay. So how does birth control work on this planet, Earth?
No,
if you can just touch a woman. If you can touch a woman and she becomes pregnant. Birth control
planet.
On Earth, I can't believe this is a grown man. Adrian.
No, but let's talk this through.
Adrian,
this is important.
I'm about to
let's
blow your
through.
Mind. Ma'am, are you here with Adrian? Are you Adrian's girlfriend / spouse? He touched your arm, so that says yes. I am so sorry. But I'm about to do you the biggest favor. Here's how birth control works, Adrian. Do you not know? This is wild. Because this, do you know the movie takes place on this planet? Secundus touches her and gets her pregnant. I suspect even if she was on the pill, she still would have gotten pregnant. Oh, your girlfriend is so mad at you. Adrian, you are getting dumped tonight!
Now that's an Easter egg. All right, now obviously we had opinions, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions. Did you come right here?
Whoa! How did this get made? Abraxas, second opinion. I want your love, I want your 5-star review. Though most of us thought that this movie was poo, write your review. Amazon, write your review.
All right, a loss of the night.
For the listeners at home, that person was covered in meat.
And now it's time for second opinions.
Watch this movie on YouTube tonight. Now there are reviews left to write.
Ooh.
What else could I do? Listening to Paul, Jason, and June, I watched Abraxas for the longest time. Whoa, now I'm logging on. Whoa, 5 stars on Amazon. Whoa, now I'm logging on. Whoa, 5 stars on Amazon.
Wow.
Vancouver. Well done.
I mean, that was impressive.
Those were all great, Vancouver. You guys are killing it.
Now, Vancouver, you did such a great job singing those songs. Unfortunately, the second opinions on this movie are few and far between. Nick Kiley, who does all of our research, said to me, "I'm sorry, I couldn't find anything." These are what he did find. There are 31% of all the reviews are 5 stars. And this one's from Matthew D. Groves. And he reviewed this in 2016. And Matthew D. Groves wrote, "The finest thing to come out of Minnesota since Fats." Minnesota Fats. And then Penny Greenwich. And this is, most of the reviews have this vein to them. So Bad, The Guardian is Good. That's a title. And she writes, plot clarity, acting so perfectly awful, you'll want to see it again to savor the nonsense. I like it in all of its goofiness. The movie bumbles along, but never drags. 5 stars. I disagree with that.
I have an update. It drags. Penny Greenwich, it drags.
Yeah, it's an hour and 26 minutes, and it's hard. It's a long one. And then this one is, I mean, look. It's a joke, but I'll read it. It goes, after seeing, this is written by John Moore. After seeing this movie, I had a strange craving for Pepsi Cola. Seeing as the only store in the whole movie sold only Pepsi and Pepsi-related paraphernalia, I would rate this movie, I give it let me go back and say this. I don't even know what to read in this one. All right, how about this? I'll say this. This one's from John Moore, and he goes, I recommend this movie to everyone on Earth. In fact, the Bible is no longer needed now that man has Abraxas, guardian of the universe. 5 stars.
I mean, it is a similar tale of Immaculate
Jesus
Conception.
Christ, sure. Yeah.
The Chosen One.
I mean, there it is. This movie came out in 1991.
That is still shocking to me.
Well, when was it made? 91.
Oh, so it came out the same
90.
Year?
Well, look, here. I'll tell you the movies that it came out with, and then it will blow your mind even more. Terminator 2.
Crazy.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
What?
Home Alone. So this is like a big...
The first Home Alone?
Audible
first
gasp.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
This movie looks like a shitty TV show. This, like, episodes of The Incredible Hulk from the 70s
yes.
look better than this.
This is like, yeah, there's no budget information. There's no gross. It's gross.
It's late.
It was written and directed by Damian Lee, who, these are his other films. Hot Teenage Assets. Ski School.
Oh, I've seen Ski School.
Street Law. Terminal Rush. Moving Target. Inner Action. And Paper Trail.
Consider yourself a watched tonight movie. I guess if Canadian Amazon Prime works.
So as we wrap it up here tonight, Jason, June, would you recommend this movie? Jason, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, no. I mean, but yeah, sort of. You know, if you're... it's always the thing, it's the end of the episode, so it doesn't matter, because I would say get a feel for it. Watch it to listen to the episode, which doesn't make sense because we're at the end of the episode, but it's fun, but it's too long. It's plodding. The fight scenes are not fun. No. But there is some really nuts stuff to watch, which I enjoy. That's all. So I would watch, but I would fast forward. I fast forwarded through the fight scenes a bunch because they were boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why you would watch this movie in this world. I don't know why you would.
I'm just going to say it's shocking how similar this film is to Terminator 2. Like, you have two Terminators chasing each other. They don't seemingly have any special powers besides blowing people's heads up if they don't have information in their brain. The poster, which we've been displaying behind us the entire time, has Jesse the Body's face on it with a laser coming out of his eye. He does not have that in the movie.
Yeah.
It's odd, but it just makes me appreciate how good Terminator 2 is. And
Terminator 1.
Terminator 1
looks so much better than this movie, and it's years prior.
But so you should watch this movie if you just want to appreciate other movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I even think that just shows you how good James Cameron is, because they simply tried to crib this movie very, I mean, they. I feel like someone told them the plot points over like a fax or a phone and they just wrote it down very quickly. And this is what they got. And it's, they weren't able to capture any of the great stuff in it. I mean, look, Sonia Murray, she's no Linda Hamilton. But who's the little kid? What's his name?
Tommy.
I mean, he's no Eddie Furlong. I mean, right?
I like
Tommy.
Him.
You like Tommy?
I thought he was cute.
You're right in that he's it's what an impossible role to be a child and have no lines.
I actually think that was a great use of a child actor.
Well, with that, we will wrap up the show. Thank you, Vancouver. give it up to Devin, our engineer who travels across country with us, and back there recording the show. Thank you to everybody here in this beautiful, beautiful theater. We had a great time, and now we will pose for a picture. So we'll do that.
And also, thank you, Vancouver.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vancouver. And that's actually a very special episode because that was the last live audience show that we did before the pandemic started. Literally, the pandemic shut everything down about a week after we did that show. It was the last place that I visited in pretty much the last year and a half, which is wild to think of. Vancouver, you will always hold a special place in my heart, just like the ponytail on the back of Jesse Ventura's head. And if you want to get your very own Abraxas shirt, you can do it in the Tee Public store. Check it out. And let's keep this discussion going. You can do that on Discord. I have my own Discord, which is more general chat, fun, whatever goes Discord. And there's a How Did This Get Made Discord, which is just specifically How Did This Get Made. And the moderators on both are fantastic. So check us out at discord.gg/HDTGM or discord.gg/PaulShear. And by the way, if you like live streaming stuff, Rob Hubel and I are doing shows every Thursday on Twitch. We also have cooking shows and music shows. Just head on over to Friendzone on Twitch. You don't need a Twitch account. It's just like YouTube. You'll love it. We do a bunch of great shows there. Thank you to everyone who makes this show possible. Devin, our engineer, our lead senior engineer, our super producer, Cody Fisher, who makes this entire process so smooth, so easy, so fun. July Diaz, who's listening, making sure that this thing goes off without a hitch. Of course, I want to thank our big movie-picking producer, which I think needs a better title, but Avril Halley for finding Abraxas and leading us all to this amazing, amazing film. Our head researcher, Nate Kiley. Of course, Kyle Waldron and the ghost of Craig T. Nelson for all of our amazing art that you see on our Instagram and Twitter pages and Facebook pages. And last but not least, Molly Reynolds. Molly Reynolds, MVP. MVP of the show, coming in, figuring out what she needs to do at any given point. All right, we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Chapter 1, Wayfair welcomes you to the neighborhood. Our hero, Titus Burgess, ambled down the stylish street of an enchanting utopia. A woman waved from a chic lounger. "Welcome to the neighborhood," she said, "where Wayfair helps everyone create a home they love." Titus stared in awe. Bohemian Boulevard, Trendsetter Terrace, Mid-Century Circle.
Titus, You're reading the Wayfair catalog.
Oh, you'll love Chapter 2. Wayfair's fast and free shipping saves a potluck.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.